Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, we welcome you to this program. It is our interview of Golden Pieces of Advices or segment. Let's welcome Mufti Farhan Karani. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mufti Sahab.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mufti Sahab, all well on your side?
Alhamdulillah, shukran, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Today, inshallah, we discuss the etiquettes and the sunnah of eating. As we come out of the month of Ramadan, now we need to keep our sunnahs with regards to eating going, and many of us, many of the times, forget actually. Even those that know, we tend to forget. So Mufti Sahab, please advise us with regards to this.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, wa al-aqibatu al-muttaqeen, wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafi al-anbiya'i al-mursaleen, Sayyidina wa Habibina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa Ali wa sahbihi ajma'in. قال الله تبارك وتعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كلوا واشربوا ولا تسرفوا إن الله لا يحب المسرفين. الله تعالى says in the Quran الكريم, eat and drink and don't waste. الله تعالى, verily Allah does not like those who waste. So الله تعالى is telling us to eat and drink. Now with regard to eating and drinking, there are many, many sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which we practice upon. Some we know, some we don't know of. We will, inshallah, brush up on it. Like some of the students, they say, you ask them, read dua before eating. Now they're stuck. They can't read dua before eating. And dua, they're forgetting to read bismillah. Then they know that dua. I say, yeah, because every time I forget, then I only read that dua. So we must read the dua before eating, after eating, even while eating is duas. So inshallah, we will go through a few sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like you said, coming out of the month of Ramadan, now people are like making qaza of all the food they didn't eat during the month of Ramadan. They lost all the kilos, now they need to pick it up. So nobody says don't eat. Eat halal, tayyib. Allah Ta'ala says you must eat halal, tayyib food, wholesome halal food. And make dua also that Allah grant us halal food, halal rizq, because that food that you put into your stomach is going to be your fuel. So if you put the correct fuel in your body, you put food of taqwa in your body, and you put food of piety and wholesome halal food in your body, then automatically your imani motor will work, and it will drive you towards ibadat, and will drive you towards making amal in the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, will drive you towards the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. And when we put haram food and doubtful food in our stomach, then that shaitani motor now works, and it now drives us towards haram, and the person commits sins because his belly is now fueled with the fire of shaitan, with the fuel of shaitan. So the food we put in our stomachs are very important. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam even taught us a dua, and that Allah grant me from the halal, tayyib food. We will first mention the first sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never ate reclining? You know, like we lie down on our backs or on a couch or on a chair, and you're reclining, you're leaning back. That is against the sunnah. Medically, so now we follow the sunnah. We don't follow medical reasons why it is harmful for us. So medically, if you lie down, then you will choke and you will cough because your food is not going down straight. So when we sit forward and eat, then the food goes down easily down our throats. Once Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was reclining and eating, and Jibreel Islam came and told Nabi Sallam not to sit in that way, and thereafter Nabi Sallam never ever sat, ate reclining. Another sunnah of Nabi Sallam, how in the manner he used to eat, he never sat cross-legged. Nabi Sallam never sat cross-legged and ate, because eating cross-legged, according to Qadi Iyad, it is like placing support beneath you. It's like eating with support, and you cannot, it is against the sunnah to take support when you are eating. I mean, sitting on a chair, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never ever sat on the table and ate. So sitting, squatting cross-legged is against the sunnah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to sit with his knees on the floor as if he was sitting up, but his knees were on the floor. Like, you know, you're in a hurry to go somewhere, but you're in a hurry, you need to get up and go. And then sometimes Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to sit with his on the floor, and his knees were raised. His knees were raised, and that is like the squatting position. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then somebody asked, "Ya Rasulullah, why are you sitting this man?" I say, "I like to sit like how the slaves sit, and because I'm a slave of Allah Ta'ala, so I want to sit in this manner." And if you look at all the manners of sitting of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam whilst eating, it suppresses the need for eating more, because your stomach is now suppressed and you will not overeat. But now if you're sitting on the table, the food is going down, you don't even know when your stomach is full, so you're going to just carry on eating and eating. So that is why it's important to sit on the floor, sit the sunnat way, and partake of your food. The time that a person uses to eat his food, he will not be questioned for that, because he is eating to fill his stomach, to make the worship of Allah. So that fuel, that food that he is putting in, it becomes fuel for his body, nourishes his body, and he's going to use it for ibadat. Another way of sitting is to keep the right leg up. To keep the right leg up. Or to, if you can't keep the right leg up, then the left leg up. Or you can sit in a tashahud manner. That is, these are the ways of Nabi Hassan's eating habits. And another way mentioned is that Nabi Hassan used to put the inner side of his left foot over the back of the right foot. And so we normally, when we sit and eat, then we put our right foot, the inner of our right foot over our left foot. But the sunnah is to put the inner of the left foot over the back of the right foot. It might be a bit uncomfortable, but we must practice upon it and it will become a habit, inshallah. A hadith we learn in Maktab as well is that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam partook of food, right? If he liked it. If he didn't like it, he would just leave it. He wouldn't comment on the food and pass remarks on the food, or the food is sour, it's bitter, it's too salty, there's no salt, it's too thin, it's too thick. And children generally have a habit of complaining, and then, you know, when they're not told anything, then they become adults and they still complain about everything. So we must not be in a habit of commenting on the food. And you must say, Alhamdulillah. And one of the sunnahs of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is that at the end of eating, he used to say, the dua, Alhamdulillah, hamdan, kathiran, tayyiban, mubarakan, fi. This is mentioned in Zadul Ma'ad. We repeat it again. Alhamdulillah, hamdan, kathiran, tayyiban, mubarakan, fi. Alhamdulillah, hamdan, kathiran, tayyiban, mubarakan, fi. So this is also the dua Muslim is to read in between eating, in between luqmas, in between taking portions of food. So what does he mean? All praise is due to Allah, with countless and endless praises upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which he has granted us barakat. And the food that he has granted us, Allah ta'ala must grant us barakat in the dua also, and it is a praise also of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's one story that comes to mind. One buzruk, he went to go and eat. He had a dawat by somebody's house. And after partaking of the food, after the dawat, he asked, he said, you know, the food is so delicious, Alhamdulillah. I would like to just speak to the family who prepared the food. So they arranged behind the curtain that the buzruk stood that side here, the alim stood that side, and the family is on the other side of the door and or the curtain. And he commented, he said, Alhamdulillah, the food was prepared wonderfully and it was so delicious. Allah Ta'ala reward you tremendously and abundantly. So the wife started crying. Now, the Maulana is now worried. Now, what did I say? Did I say something wrong now? It hurt her feelings. What happened now? So she, after controlling herself, she said, you know, my husband, you know, 30 years or 40 years or 50 years, I'm married with him to him. He never ever told me that my food is delicious. He just ate and he went. He never ever commented. And he never praised my food, my cooking. So we must always praise our wife's cooking. Sometimes you praise him, they ask you, okay, you got a fever or something. What bayan you heard now that you're coming to praise me? Like that, you won't praise me, but now you hear something and then you come and praise me. It's not counted. So, you know, women always got something. So, you know, our women are like warriors. You know, in the month of Ramadan, we were still sleeping in bed there, and they were already in the kitchen making sari for us. And when during the day, it's hot or it's cold, and they're standing by the stove, and they are cooking for us our iftar, and frying the samosas and whatever food. And they have to look after the children, and they have to look after the house, and looking after everything. And we don't appreciate the good they do for us. We must appreciate it. We must show the appreciation. We must say, Jazakumullah, the food was so delicious. But even if the food wasn't, the salt wasn't right in the food, don't comment on it. Just you go yourself and you take the bottle of salt. You don't have to, the salt is short, man. What's wrong? Why you didn't taste the food? And so we mustn't, like some men are very, very grumpy when it comes to eating. You know, the food must be right, and this must be right, and this not right. And they even reprimand and shout the wife. And so we mustn't do things like this here. Yeah? This is against etiquette. We must be kind to our wives and show gratitude for their efforts in cooking. You know, if we must go in the kitchen and cook something, it will be like a disaster. It will be like a bomb went off in the kitchen. And, so we must appreciate what they do for us.
Mufti Saab, just sorry to interrupt. They must also just make sure that it's the wife cooked the food that day, not the neighbor. Just now they praised the food on the wrong day.
You know, another thing you get from the wife, man. You know, when you eat something in the dastakhan, some biscuits or some food, and you say, Alhamdulillah, hey, mashallah, this food is so nice. Yeah, you see, it came from the neighbor. When it's my food, you don't comment. But in the neighbor's hand of food, and you comment. No, we didn't even know the food came from the neighbor. We just saying, yeah, when I bake, then you don't say it's nice. When somebody else hand it, then it's very nice. So when you see them baking and cooking, you must say, Alhamdulillah, hey, the food smells so delicious. Alhamdulillah, getting on that. Yeah, so Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never, speaking about wasting, in the ayat mentioned, Allah Ta'ala doesn't like wasting, and wastage of food, and wasting or wastage of anything. There are, yearly, there is about 1.3 billion, billion tons of food that goes to waste. 1.3 billion tons of food. So one third of the food produced in the world goes to waste. And there are 800 million people starving every year. So even if a quarter of that food which is wasted is given to the poor, there'll be no people starving. Just imagine, a quarter of the food that gets wasted is given to the poor, there won't be no waste. There won't be no people starving. And they say in the next 20 years, there'll be another 2 billion people in the world. And we'll need 60% more food. But the kuffar say that if people don't waste their food, there'll be no need for more production of food. Because the wastage that happens, if that food goes to, is contributed towards the extra population of the world, you won't need to make more food. You won't need to plant more food. So that is the amount of wastage that happens. People, you know, they eat food and they don't like it. They just leave it there. There's meat on the bone. There's peas on the side, there's carrots there, there's tarkari in a plate still there. It, put some rice in, put some roti, take some bread, clean the plate. The plate makes dua for you. Now, when you clean your plate, the plate makes dua for you. Now, in madrasa days, I don't know if you remember, and we had a nazim. That nazim was very, very strict. And after you ate, you had to clean that plate so thoroughly. You used to take it and look up in the light to see if there's any crumbs, like a minutest of crumb, like a microscopic crumb that's there. You must clean that also. So, you know, the plate must be shining. You don't have to even clean it. And so That's how. Now you don't have to go to such great lengths to clean the plate, and because then you get a demerit if you don't clean the plate properly. So we must worry that Allah Ta'ala will give us a sin. If we're committing a sin that we didn't clean the plate properly in the plate, we lost a dua of the plate. That the plate will make dua for you. Allah give him more risk that he clean me, so clean his plate of evil deeds. Now when we, especially us, when we drink tea, I don't know why we have a habit of leaving the last bit of tea in the bottom of the cup. The quarter cup of tea that's left behind. And okay, maybe if you're making tea with tea leaves or tea granules or something, then you'll get that last bit that's black in the bottom. But when you're using a tea bag, you're not going to get that in the bottom. We must drink all the tea. Some people say, no, we leave it there because maybe somebody did some zahir and it stays at the bottom. It doesn't make sense. You must drink up everything. Yes. So if there was poison or some jadu inside there, you already drank it up because diluted already anyway. So that's the shaitanic excuse that no. Because you know why? The white people, they don't drink up the last bit of tea. They leave it there. So us Indians, we see it there and we imitate them. That is the reason why. There's no other reason. So we must not waste. Even the last bit of tea there, we mustn't waste drinking in three sips. And washing the hands, very important. Washing the hands before eating and even after eating. You will be safe from poverty. You wash your hands before and after meal. Imagine. It's just washing your hands. You know, the kuffar, they're doing things now, but they're using forks and knives and spoons and all that to eat. Now, we Muslims also now started imitating this way of the kuffar. And it doesn't, it just looks so disgusting, eating with a fork and a knife. And, you know, they hold the fork in the left hand. That's because they eat with the left hand. And then they take the knife. And, you know, some people, they even eat an egg. They eat baked beans and they eat a toast with a fork and a knife. I mean, come on, like, you don't want to use your hands. You know, you're still going to wash your hands after eating. Right? You're missing out all the sunnahs of eating with the fingers. And they say eating with the fingers, it makes the food more delicious. Because the when your fingers meet your mouth, it releases some kind of juices in your tongue that increase the flavor of your food. So eating with the hands and washing your hands, and I mean the kuffars, they don't wash their hands after they come out from the toilet, and then they're going to eat and all their germs, and then you find different sicknesses. There's no cures for it because people are eating filth. They're eating najasa, and eating dirt, and you have to teach our children, you know, wash your hands before you eat. And then also, when washing your hands before eating, do not dry your hands. It's against the sunnah to dry your hands. And people say, no, you're going to dirty the floor. See, you're dropping all water on the floor. Then no, the sunnah is don't wipe your hands, because that towel was used to wipe your hands after you ate. Now you're going to wipe your hands before you're eating. Now that there are germs on the towel, it's going back on your hands. And then you're going to go eat your food. Now, the kuffar, actually, they take from us, but we don't take from the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If you look at the surgeons and the physicians, when they go into theater, what they do? They scrub their hands, they tell their elbows, they scrub. And then they carry their hands up like this, with their elbows down and their hands facing up. So the water drops down. So it doesn't carry any germs before they go and operate. So they know that by wiping your hands after eating, it's going to make germs, put germs on your hands. So why have we left the sunnah of Nabi Qasim? And the kuffar are taking it. They're telling us that, you know, there's benefit in this. But we forgot the sunnah. So we must make amal on all the sunnahs of Nabi Qasim.
Mufti Sahib, something you mentioned that... often people say that we sometimes in a meeting or something, and then, or there's a company, whatever it is, so they eat with a fork and a knife, and because they're too ashamed to eat with their fingers, what the kuffar are going to say. But just a few months, I think it was a year back or so, we had one Mulana, he's a revert, and his whole life, the way he changed his life, all of that was interesting on its own. But when I asked him the question that, like, what really, like, inspired you a lot in that, He said, when I was interested in Islam, now this is in Canada. So someone invited him, a doctor invited him, a Muslim. And he came, and when he was there, the doctor didn't say, oh, this is a revert. Now he is going to, or he's interested in Islam. What's he going to say if I eat with my hands? He carried on eating with his hands. And now his name is Mulana Dawood. He said, this was one of the things that inspired me quite a bit because I saw such beauty in the sunnah of eating with the fingers. And he says, on this, it motivated me so much to accept Islam. So sometimes our minds go in a different direction and we're too ashamed to embrace ourselves. Like Mufti Saab said, we will rather follow the kuffar, but they will take from us, but we won't take from them.
So, gee, mashallah, one story slipped my mind. Gee, that's so, yeah, so the Sahaba, one Sahabi, he was eating, and some morsel, one morsel of food fell on the ground. So the other people around, like, don't pick it up, no, don't pick it up, no, what the people would say. So, in a loud voice, said, why must I be scared of these dogs? Hadi Kelab, why must I be scared of these dogs? This is the sunnah of my Nabi. I pick up the food. He picked up the food from the floor and ate it. Why must I be shy to pick up the food? And so we be shy to practice on a sunnah. But we mustn't, we might, when we're making sin, then we're not shy. But when we want to make amal on a sunnah, then people say, no, don't do like this. Yeah, you know, people are watching and eat with your hands. If they're looking at you, let them look. It's their business. They can look. And you're making amal on a sunnah. Don't ever be shy to make amal on a sunnah. Like people, you know, they don't want to keep their trousers above the ankle. They say, no, you know what people would say? They say, like, you know, I am short of material. I can't afford a proper trouser or something wrong with me. They comment on it. And no, we must be proud to make amal, to practice on the sunnah. And then Allah Ta'ala will put, give hidayah to those people. And sometimes people, they mock at you, and Allah Ta'ala gives iman to those same people who mock at you. Because they were mocking and they didn't understand, but Allah Ta'ala slowly put the hidayat in their hearts, and now they understand, you know, this is the reason why they do things like this here. So never be shy to make amal on the sunnah. Nabi Muhammad used to eat from the bottom, not from the top of the food. So if the food, like for example, you're eating a dessert from a dessert bowl, and you start eating from the top there, and then you start eating from the bottom because the barakah descends on the top. So leave the top for the last and you eat from the bottom. Right, Nabi Sassam never put his whole fingers in his mouth. Right? Now some people, how they eat is they put the food in their palms and they make it a ball, and then they put it into their mouth, they roll it into their mouth and goes on to their beard and their chin and everything gets messed. That is against the sunnah. You see some Arab countries also, they do the same thing. They put the food in their palms and they make it a ball and they eat it. This is totally against sunnah. The person is to eat with three fingers. And he used to lick the fingers after eating. And even after morsels, he used to lick his fingers. If he ate with three fingers, he would lick the middle finger, then the index finger, then the thumb. So in this manner. And sometimes you're eating maybe rice or something, you can't lift it with three fingers. Then you use four fingers. Or if you can't with four fingers, then five fingers. But only the fingers. The fingertips of the eating, not the whole fingers and the whole palms and everything is messed. And eat with the right hand. Don't eat with the left hand. And so we must lick our fingers. So then, while you're eating, then you're cleaning your hands already. Now when you finish, you don't have a whole lot of rice stuck on your fingers and tarkari and everything. And now it now becomes so difficult to even clean your fingers. So after taking every luqma, try to lick our fingers. It's the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So first the middle finger, then the index finger, then the thumb. If you're eating with five, then you from the pinky, then you end with the thumb. So these are some of the sunnahs of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Inshallah, if you get tawfiq, then we will continue with this topic. It's a very, very long topic. Eating habits of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ate, etc. Inshallah, let Allah give us tawfiq.
Ameen. Ameen. Jazakumullah khairan, Mufti Saab, for this, and make dua for us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum
salam. Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.